And we're back here on EnergyWise. Now it's time to take your questions from our building energy guru, Ilya Benesch. How are you doing this week, Ilya?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Are you ready to answer some questions?
You bet.
All right. Well, here we go. First question is from Dan in the Esther area. He wants to know, what is the most insulating style of log home building there is?
Well, that's a pretty good question, and there's sort of a little bit of confusion there. Excuse me, but log and solid wood generally has got a pretty low insulating value. It's actually about an R value of 1.25 per inch. So if you look at that number, a lot of the three-sided 6-inch and 8-inch log places we see around town are pretty under-insulated by today's standards. As a comparison, the 2x6 wall, you can install R21 worth of fiberglass insulation into that. When you average the whole wall out, you combine the wood and the fiberglass, you get an R value of about 17 or 18. To achieve that in a log wall, you'd need about a 16-inch diameter log. And that's certainly doable. Full scribe log places can do that all the time, but it's not something you could get out of a 6-inch or an 8-inch log place. So if you're building a big house, I wouldn't look at those size logs. I would look at something big. The other important thing then is if you can use a permachink type elastic sealer to seal between the joints, that's going to help stop airflow.
Next question. I heard that metal framed windows are a bad choice for Alaska. Why is that, and what should I do about it?
Well, that's very true. The metal windows, metal is a very good conductor. Typically the metal framed windows are aluminum, and when that aluminum gets cold, it conducts basically cold right into the glass. You'll get a lot more condensation. Your windows are going to be more sensitive to moisture, I guess is what I'm saying. But there's some easy solutions. People will use a shrink wrap. It's a product you can buy at your local lumber yard, and that creates an extra sort of a window on the inside, so you've got an extra layer of dead air. That provides a little more insulation. Curtains help, or if you want to go to the trouble, shutters help, or any combination of those three. I actually had somebody come in last week, and it was an older woman, and she said that she was actually putting in a desiccant before she put in the shrink wrap, and she put that in between the space between the shrink wrap and the glass, and she said that in 6 years she hadn't had any condensation between the shrink wrap and the glass, and I thought that was a really neat little trick. So if you do a good job with the shrink wrap, it looks to me like you might be able to avoid a lot more of the icing issues too.
So as a follow-up to that then, when you have these metal framed windows, not only with the moisture, but they conduct, and so you lose heat energy through them?
That is correct. You'll lose a lot more heat energy too. When they assign an R value to a window, that's typically the window, the whole window. That's the frame, that's the glass, that's the hardware all combined into one. So when you start looking at how conductive that aluminum is, it's going to really bring the overall insulating value of the window way down. And it's going to cost you quite a bit in energy depending on how big your window is.
Okay, next question. I am thinking of installing a rainwater catchment system. What are some things that I need to know? First, Ilya, tell me, is that possible here in Alaska?
You know it is. I haven't heard of anybody yet that's doing it year-round. We're doing it here at CCHRC with the gray water. We're collecting water off of the roof, and we're using it to flush the toilets. It's certainly possible to do it as well and filter it into drinking water. There's a lot more involved with that, and since we can only collect water during basically our warm seasons, you would need to have pretty significant storage in the building so you would be able to get through. But at the same time, if you even just collected water for 4 or 5 months out of the year, it sure would be cheaper than having to pay for somebody to deliver it. At our building, we have 24 people now, and we had 5,000 gallons of water. That lasted us through January just about. When there were 12 people here in the building, 5,000 gallons flushed the toilets all winter long. So if you have a low flush toilet and you're careful with how you use water, you can make it go a long way. There's a couple more things I'd like to say about collecting water. A lot of people up here do go the easy route, and if they don't have wells or their wells are underperforming, you can certainly collect water off of your roof and put it into a tank, and then just a simple type pump, drop-in sump type pump, will pump water into your garden, and that's a pretty good way to go. I found too that a source for larger tanks, sometimes the local excavation companies, the people that put in water tanks and septic systems, occasionally they'll get a damaged tank on a pullout, so they won't have a lid, but it'd be perfect for catching water out of your gutters. So it's worth kind of looking at those options too. Larger contractors may be willing to sell some damaged tanks at a cheaper price. I do know that there are readily commercially available systems that will let you allow you to collect and filter water so it becomes drinking water. At that point, if you're going to look into doing that, you would need to be aware of what kind of roofing you've got on there to be sure that you're not introducing any pollutants or contaminants from the roofing itself into the water. As a case in point, the Big Island of Hawaii, I think about half the homes on the wet side are collecting rainwater as drinking water. They are using commercially available filtration systems. I think part of that, too, is you would probably want good access to your tank if you ever had to go in there and clean it out or inspect it, so it's not something you'd want to bury in the ground. The other thing, we've done some tests here at CCHRC on our local rainwater. Rainwater is typically acidic. Our rainwater that we get here in Fairbanks is acidic as well. It is corrosive. It has nothing to do with health issues. It's just that the nature of rainwater is always to be a little bit on the acidic side. What that means is it's aggressive when it comes to common plumbing metals, and so you would want to be able to bring the pH of the water back down if you're looking at a long-term water catchment type system.
That's a great answer. Now, I've heard of the BEES regulations in Alaska. That's B-E-E-E-S, though I don't know quite what they are. Is this something I should know about if I am a homeowner or want to build a home? That's a good question.
Yes, the BEES regulations are part of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's energy efficiency standards, and they've basically taken the International Energy Efficiency Code and they've adapted it to Alaska. Because we are a colder climate, they've set higher insulation values for windows, for floors, roofs, walls, those kinds of things. When you are looking at using Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to go and build a 5-star plus home, there is a $7,500 energy credit that you can get for building a home to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's energy standards, but you need to follow the BEES ratings, and those are online at Alaska Housing Finance, and they are arranged by region, so there would be Interior Alaska, for instance, or Southeast or South Central, and for each region they have separate energy minimum requirements for windows and walls and things like that, so it's a great guideline to go by. Keep in mind that those numbers are minimums, and you could certainly add more R values to your floors and other places you need insulation and do a lot better too.
So if I was going to build a house and I was going through a contractor, would they know about all these regulations of the BEES system?
Most of them would, particularly the people that are involved with the contractors that are part of the Interior Alaska Home Builders Association. But just to be safe, I would strongly advise anybody before they even break ground to start the paperwork process. The people at the Portal Building are pretty well informed, but in order to comply with the BEES ratings, life is going to be a lot easier if you start right at groundbreaking. Then you can get the right series of inspections done every step of the way. It's a lot harder if you've already started. In some cases, it's even impossible. So I can't stress enough, before you start breaking ground, start the BEES process. It will ensure that you get the $7,500 credit if you follow all the right steps.
And next question, what is the difference between yellow insulation and pink insulation?
Well, I'm assuming that we're talking foams. We've got the yellow foam and the blue foam, and then we've got the pink foam, and there's the white foam, and they're all a little bit different chemically. The pink and the blue foam are typically rated for below grade. They're a higher density and they've got water resistance. The yellow foam usually has a foil facing on both sides. That foil facing is a pretty much 100% air and vapor barrier if you tape the joints. However, that foam isn't dense enough to work below grade. So I think the bottom line here is that rigid foams in general give you a lot of insulating value for a minimal thickness. But you definitely want to check with the manufacturer's recommendations, and those are readily available at the lumberyard that you bought the foam from, just to make sure that it is rated for your application. And this typically applies to whether you're going to put it in a moist location or bury it or not.
Okay, what about fiberglass insulation, the pink and the yellow and so on?
Those are more brand associated. It used to be that there was a fairly high formaldehyde content in a lot of the fiberglasses. We've since gotten away from that. We're becoming a lot more aware of air quality issues. So it's nothing to do with the colors. The colors are more brand specific. Fiberglass works a little differently than the rigid foams do, in a sense that there are lots of larger air spaces between the glass fibers, and those air spaces do provide insulating value as long as the stud bay that they are in is sealed. If you get air movement anywhere through that fiberglass, it doesn't stop air the way rigid foams do, and it will lose heat.
All right. Is there a way I can tell how much phantom power an appliance is using? Now, before you answer that, Ilya, tell me, what is phantom power?
Well, phantom power could be that even though you aren't specifically turning the appliance on and using it, it may still be drawing an energy load. There are other things like timers, clocks, LED lights, other kinds of lights in the appliance. Those can draw electricity. In some cases, something can malfunction and draw a little more electricity than you would want it to, or something may just have a phantom load on it that is not very energy efficient. And so if you have any doubts about anything like that, you can buy a pretty inexpensive watt meter at your local electrical stores or a lot of your lumber yards as well. You can plug that in between the appliance and the outlet, and it will tell you what you're using in terms of power.
Yeah, I understand that things like television sets, people think that their TV is turned off, but really it takes power to function the sensors that work with your remote. And that's what turns the TV on. So it's kind of ironic in a way.
Yes, it is. That's very, very true.
All right. Thank you very much, Ilya. Maybe we'll be seeing you next week.
Certainly. I will be here.
And thank you for listening to EnergyWise.
If you want to submit a question to EnergyWise, email us at energywise@cchrc.org. We'll try and get your question answered on the air. For more information on EnergyWise, including a schedule of upcoming shows, visit the UAF Cooperative Extension Service website at www.uaf.edu/CES or the Cold Climate Housing Research Center at www.cchrc.org. Get EnergyWise. Save money. Become sustainable.